From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. Ahead, the historic 508 Park makes a comeback. But first, as New York City buckles down to deal with its first Ebola case, Dallas is cleaning up after a tough few weeks. Cole Edmondson has spent them facing the biggest challenge of his career. He's chief nursing officer at Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital in Dallas, which means he oversees 1,300 nurses. Two are being treated for Ebola they caught while treating a Liberian patient who eventually died at Presbyterian. Edmondson sat down with KERA's Vice President of News, Rick Holter, for this week's Friday Conversation.
Cole Edmondson, welcome to the Friday Conversation.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Talk about being in the eye of a storm. What have the last few weeks been like for you?
Well, I think your description is pretty accurate. We have most certainly been in a very difficult time, a very challenging time for our organization, for all of those that have been involved in the care and have also worked at Presbyterian. So we're really proud, though, of what we've been able to accomplish and what we've been able to do during this incredibly challenging time.
Now that you've had a little time to reflect, do you think the staff and nurses specifically could have been better prepared?
I think we can always be better prepared for these things. We've been learning. We've been in a really active learning situation right now, and it has been an evolving situation. But we've had the experts on the ground with us, learning with us, teaching us, and really consulting with us. So there's a real opportunity, I think, to take the learning that we have now and carry it forward and really be able to influence what's happening at a national level.
Last week, a National Nurses Union, which I should mention doesn't represent nurses at Presbyterian, shared some pretty strong stories about the ER there. Then Brianna Aguirre, a nurse at your hospital, went on the Today Show to say the hospital should be ashamed about the training the staff received. How do you respond to that?
We're very proud of our nursing staff, and we're very proud of what they've been able to achieve in this situation. And working closely with leadership and medicine and our infection prevention professionals, we really believe that we've delivered outstanding care.
Is Brianna Aguirre still employed at Presbyterian?
Absolutely, and we're looking forward to her return.
So she's off right now?
She is off right now. Many of her colleagues are off on furlough. And for us, a furlough is really about making sure that those folks are taken care of, that they're getting their full pay, their full benefits, and they're able to take that time away from the facility.
I want to go back to that moment when your first nurse, Nina Pham, tested positive for Ebola. How did the rest of the nursing staff react, and what was the first thing you did?
I think the first thing that I did was cry. I was really devastated by her diagnosis, just as my colleagues were and everyone that knows and loves Nina. We were all shocked. We were definitely taken back by what was really happening, and it was almost surreal. We immediately, though, went into action to take care of our colleague, to make sure that she was comfortable and that she had everything that she needed, and to also reassure her that we were going to be there for her as her family.
Nina Pham was sent to Bethesda, Maryland, and the second nurse, Amber Vinson, was transferred to Atlanta. I wonder if that was a bittersweet moment for you and the staff, these members of your team being cared for somewhere else.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a moment that really sets heavy on our hearts. We did our absolute best to care for our colleagues as well as Mr. Duncan, and it was very difficult to watch them go.
Let's talk a little bit about the blame game that springs up in a situation like this. It seems like there's almost a thirst to find a scapegoat, whether it's Presbyterian officials or the CDC, or even the way people reacted to Amber Vinson's plane trip. What do you think's behind that?
You know, I think this is an incredibly difficult situation for everyone, including the community. We've seen, of course, episodes of mild hysteria to just hysteria in general. And we want to be able to help calm the public's fears. The blame game doesn't really help anyone. We had great partners on the ground with us that were working with us, collaborating with us, and we were learning together. And we've seen that as evidenced by the new CDC guidelines that have come out that have been tightened up. And those were something that we've been refining over the last 4 weeks to be able to make sure that we have the safest and securest environment for our nurses.
What would you say to someone who might be scared to visit Presbyterian?
I would tell them to look at the history of Presbyterian, that we are a safe hospital, that we're a secure hospital, that we're a wonderful hospital that's been in the community for over 50 years. This is one occurrence at our facility. So we would tell you that it's safe to be a Presbyterian, and you're secure when you're there.
Cole Edmondson, Chief Nursing Officer at Presbyterian Hospital, thanks for coming in.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
The building at 508 Park Avenue in Dallas was once a landmark recording studio and film exchange. It's been vacant for decades, though. Stephanie Kuo reports the phase is finally being restored, and crowds can get their first glimpse this weekend.
Back in the late 1930s, the tunes of a hand-crank record player often drifted down the halls at 508 Park Avenue. Within these Art Deco zigzag modern walls, blues legend Robert Johnson, singing cowboy Gene Autry, and countless others made their mark. Right now, you're hearing Bob Wills' Keep Knocking, which was recorded here in 1938.
It was a very interesting time in the history of Dallas.
Alan Governor's a music historian and the president of Documentary Arts, a Dallas nonprofit. In all, he says, more than 843 songs have rung through 508 Park's halls.
Blues, early country, Western swing, the hot fiddle bands. There was also a number of Mexican recordings that were done here.
508 Park was built in 1929 as a Warner Brothers exchange building, where movies were screened and distributed. A subsidiary called Brunswick Radio operated on the third floor as a recording studio through the 30s.
Many buildings like this have been bulldozed away for other development.
Last month, three nearby century-old buildings were demolished on Elm Street. 5 years ago, 508 Park survived its own teardown effort. Today, the building is host to dozens of construction workers. Most are outside laying new concrete where chipped sidewalks and mud pits once dominated the landscape. The city deemed 508 Park a historic landmark, and 3 years ago, a neighbor, First Presbyterian Church, bought it with a distinct vision.
Restore this building and turn it into an asset to our programming and also to the community at large, and safeguard this musical gem.
That's Reverend Bruce Buchanan. The church plans to spend $13 million to transform 508 Park to Encore Park, opening this weekend as an outdoor concert amphitheater, a sculpture wall, and a community garden. Eventually, Encore Park will house an event space, film screenings, history exhibits, and an art studio. Plus, there will be a rooftop terrace with a view of the downtown skyline's signature flying horse, Pegasus. Brad Oldham's a member of First Presbyterian and one of the artists behind the project.
It's going to galvanize this community. And yeah, just Encore Park is going to be a great part of Dallas.
The park's crew hopes the whole venue will be open in 2016. There are already plans for a bar mitzvah. For KERA News, I'm Stephanie Kuo.
Oh yeah!
Encore Park's dedication weekend kicks off with a 9 o'clock service at First Presbyterian this morning. In the forecast, mostly sunny skies, a high around 85 expected today, overnight low 62, and then tomorrow, sunny skies with a high of 88. 63 now in Dallas, 68 in Fort Worth. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.